طيب الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the tafsir of Surah An-Nazi'at and we are in verses 6 and 7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةُ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَةُ. The day when the first blowing of the trumpet is blown, the earth and the mountains will shake violently, and الرَّادِفَة, which is the second blowing of the trumpet, follows it. A call for the Prophet here, for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to remind the people about the day of resurrection, when the first and second blowing of the trumpet occur. Al-Hasan al-Basri, may Allah be pleased with him, rahimahullah, one of the high ranking of the Tabi'een, those successors to the companions, who was born in Medina in the year 21st of Hijrah and lived in Al-Basra in Iraq. He grew up under the care of Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, and became a leading scholar of hadith, of tafsir, and of jurisprudence, of fiqh. And he used to visit the leaders and people of authority, calling on them to fear Allah and enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. And he was highly respected for his advice. He, rahimahullah, died in the year of 100 of Hijrah. He said that these verses, which I recited, refers to two blows. When the first blowing occurs, every living being will die. The second blowing raises the dead. Then he recited the saying of Allah, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصُعِقَ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَن فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَن شَاءَ اللَّهِ وَنُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنظُرُونَ. And the trumpet will be blown, and all who are in the heavens and all who are on the earth will sworn away, except him whom Allah wills. Then it will be blown a second time, and behold, they will be standing, looking on, waiting. The Prophet ﷺ said, people will become unconscious, meaning following the first blowing, and I will be the first to gain consciousness following the second blowing, as it is in another narration, to see Moses standing and holding a portion of Allah's arsh, of Allah's throne. I will not know if he has gained consciousness before me or he has been amongst those whom Allah has exempted. The exemption here, as Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah, said, includes those in Al-Jannah, from Al-Hur Al-Ain, from the Midians of Al-Jannah, because there is no death in Al-Jannah, in Paradise. It also includes others than those in Al-Jannah, but one cannot be certain of all that which Allah has exempted, because Allah generalized it in His book in the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ paused regarding whether Musa was included in Allah's exemption or not. Ibn Taymiyyah is saying that the Prophet ﷺ paused regarding whether Musa was included in Allah's exemption or not. So if the Prophet ﷺ was not informed of all those exempted, then it is impossible for us to be certain about this matter. The knowledge about this issue is like the knowledge about the exact time of occurrence of the hour of the day of recompense, and the names of the prophets and the like, which Allah did not make known. Such knowledge is attained only by revealed news, meaning by the text reported in the Quran and authentic Sunnah, rahimahullah ta'ala, for his comments. Mujahid, the Mufassir, rahimahullah, said, the first blowing will cause the mountains and the earth to shake violently. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. The first blowing will cause the mountains and the earth to shake violently. then with الرَّادِفَة, which is the second blowing, the heavens will split asunder, and the earth and the mountains shall be removed from their places and crushed with a single crushing. In other verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the one free of all imperfection, called the first blow as-sayha, called the first blow as-sayha, which is the shout, a terrifying and destructive single shout. Allah said, وَمَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. As in Surah Yasin, which is chapter 36, verses 49-51, they await only a single shout, which will seize them while they are disputing. Then they will not be able to make backwards, nor they will return to their family. And the trumpet will be blown, that is the second blowing, and behold, from the graves they will come quickly to their Rabb, to Allah. The authentic ahadith, the narrations, also indicate that the blowing and the trumpet occurs twice. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, between the two blowings of the trumpet, there will be 40. The people said, O Abu Huraira, 40 days? I refuse to reply, he said. They said, 40 years? I refuse to reply. They said, 40 months? I refuse to reply. And added, everything of the human body will decay except the cossacks, bone of the tail, and from that bone Allah will reconstruct the whole body. This is collected in Al-Bukhari and Al-Muslim. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ used to stand up when a quarter of the night had passed away and say, O people, remember Allah, remember Allah. Ar-ra-jifa, shaking of the earth following the first blowing, will soon come to pass, followed by ar-ra-difa, the second blowing of the trumpet. Death is approaching with what is therein, meaning from pains and so forth in it. Death is coming with what is in therein. The angel of the trumpet is always on guard, ready to blow the first blowing. The Prophet ﷺ said in one hadith, the eye of the angel in charge of the trumpet had been alert since he was assigned to it, gazing towards Al-Arsh, towards the throne, lest he may be commanded to blow before he blinks. His eyes are like two brilliant stars. End of quote. And this hadith is reported by Al-Hakim, who said its narration is authentic, and Al-Dhahabi agreed to that. Allah then describes how the hearts, sayings, and anticipations of certain people on the day of the hour will be established. Saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ. Some hearts that day will shake with fear and anxiety. As-Suddi, an imam in tafsir, a knowledgeable scholar, and the explanation of the Quran said, quote, the hearts of some people will reach the throats or their throats, that is because of fear, anxiety and shaking, like in the saying of Allah, وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْآزِفَةِ إِذَا الْقُلُوبُ لَذَا الْحَنَاجِرِ. And warn them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the day that is drawing near, meaning the day of resurrection, when the hearts will be shocking the throats. And what about their sight? Alaykum as-salam, rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu, Abdul Rahman. And what about their sight? Absaruhum khashi'a, verse number 9 of the surah. Cast down, their sight will be their owner's eyes. Cast down will be their owner's eyes. Seeing the horrors of that day, the eyes will be cast down and humbled by disgrace. Ata ibn Rabah, the Imam and the scholar of Islam, said it refers to the eyes of those who die in a religion other than Islam. Okay, let me answer this PM. La ilaha illallah. He said it refers to the eyes of those who die in a religion other than Islam. The context of the verse that follows is a proof for this meaning, he said. Our Shaykh, Shaykh bin Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, quote, the shaking hearts of the disbelievers will be extremely frightened. Their eyes are cast down with disgrace, unable to fix gaze with full strength because of the state of humiliation and shame they are in. We seek refuge in Allah from this state. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَرَاهُمْ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا خَاشِعِينَ مِنَ الذُّلِّ يَنْظُرُونَ مِنْ طَرَفٍ خَفِيٍ. And when you see them brought forward to it, to hell, made humble by disgrace, and looking with stealthy glance. The kuffar, the disbelievers, in a tone of denial, question the resurrection, and they say, يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ. In verse 10 of the same surah, we are explaining, يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ. In a tone of denial, they say, shall we indeed be returned to our former state of life? Are we going to walk and live again on earth after being dead in our graves? This is like they're saying in another place in the Quran when Allah described them, saying, وَقَالُوا أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا وَرُفَاتًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ خَلْقًا جَدِيدًا. They will say, when we are bones and fragments, shall we really be raised up as a new creation? أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرًا. Even after we are crumbled bones, قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذَا كَرَّةٌ حَأْسِرًا. Then they say it would in that case be a return with loss. So their mode of mockery was, quote, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling the truth, then we will eventually lose because of what will happen to us after death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that when the appointed time of resurrection will occur, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. It will be a single cry or a single blowing. The command is from Allah for the angel in charge of the trumpet to blow the second blowing, and all will come to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His command is not repeated. وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. And our commandment is but one, as the twinkling of the eye. So don't think that it is improbable that Allah will bring the living from the dead. Allah's commandment is said only once and nothing escapes him. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. Allah is not such that anything in the heavens or in the earth escapes him. Verily he is all-knowing, all-omnipotent. Once his commandment to raise the dead is made, then behold, فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. They find themselves over the earth, alive after their death. In the beginning of this surah, as you remember, and following the swearing that Allah made by the angels, Allah Azza wa Jal establishes his ability to, number one, manage the souls of mankind and the affairs of the upper and lower universe. Secondly, set the conditions of return to him on the day of resurrection. Thirdly, establish the prophethood of Musa and its implications in relation to the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as to those who reject the call to submit to Allah. Starts this latter part in the form of a reminder, saying to Muhammad now, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Has there come to you the story of Musa, of Moses? There are great benefits in the story of Musa and of the other prophets and the messengers mentioned in the Quran. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. in their stories there is a lesson for men of understanding. Allah says, the story of the Prophet Musa and his people covers a significant portion of the Quran. If you read, you'll be amazed. Everywhere you go is the story of Musa. In fact, it is mentioned more than other stories of the prophets because Musa was the messenger to the Jews and they were abundant in the city of Medina and in its surroundings. This is what our Shaykh rahimahullah said. Shaykh Muhammad bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah said that it is so because Musa was the messenger to the Jews and they were abundant in the city of Medina and in its surroundings. The stories of the prophets are a source of comfort for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who follow his path. The prophets suffered physically and verbally from their respective people. They strove in the cause of Allah and never relented. وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِن نَّبَإِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. As in chapter 6 verse 34, verily many messengers were denied before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but with patience they bore the denial and they were hurt till our help reached them, and none can alter the words, the decisions of Allah. Surely there has reached you the information, the news about the messengers before you. And there is a vivid warning to those who deny the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Allah will help him and make his message prevail. Musa is one of the five messengers of steadfastness, of firmness. He persevered and had a strong will in the cause of Allah, and Allah gave him victory over the tyrant of Egypt, Fir'aun. The question now, when Allah says in this verse, has there come to you the story of Musa, arouses the hearer's yearning to know his story. Eloquent style. The story, its subject and its place is then made known in the following verses. إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. When his Rabb Allah called him in the sacred valley of Tuwa. The valley lies below At-Tur, below the mount. It is said to be in Sina, between Egypt and Al-Madinah. It is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called upon Musa. Allah reminds us about this. فَلَمَّا قَضَى مُوسَى الْأَجَلَ. طيب, we continue inshallah. فَلَمَّا قَضَى مُوسَى الْأَجَلَ وَصَارَ بِأَهْلِهِ. Then when Musa had fulfilled the term, which is the term according to which the Prophet Musa worked for the father of the girl to be wed to him when he fled Egypt. The marriage was linked to the completion of the agreement, as we know from the Quran. Then when Musa had fulfilled the term and was traveling with his family, and he, after he got married to that girl, he saw a fire in the direction of At-Tur, in the mount, of the mount. And he said to his family, wait, I have seen a fire. Perhaps I may bring to you from there some information, or a burning fire brand that you may warm yourselves. So when he reached it, the fire, he was called from the right side of the valley, in the blessed place from the tree. O Musa, verily I am Allah, the Rabb of Al-Alameen, the Lord of all creation. The complete story of Allah's calling upon Musa by name is detailed in the beginning of Surah Taha, which is chapter 20 in the Quran, for you to refer to. Allah's signs in the stick and in Musa's hand, etc., will also explain. In the verses discussed now in Surah An-Nazi'at and that in Surah Taha chapter 20, the method of da'wah to Allah is clearly explained. Musa will go to meet the person who considered himself divine and told his people, Fir'aun told his people, وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرِي. Pharaoh said, O chiefs, I know not that you have an ilah, a god other than me. The command of Allah to Musa was, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. In verse 17 of this surah now, we are explaining, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. go to the Fir'aun. Verily he has transgressed all bounds in crimes, in sins, in shirk, in disbelief. When Musa heard this command, he asked Allah to make his task easy and strengthen him to carry this task by assigning a helper from his family. قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي وَاجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِي أُجْدُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي. Musa said, O my Rabb, open for me my chest, meaning grant me self-confidence, contentment, and boldness, and ease my task for me, and make loose the knot which is the defect from my tongue, meaning remove the incorrectness from my speech. And that occurred as a result of a brand of fire which Prophet Musa put in his mouth when he was an infant, as related in Tafsir al-Tabari, and Allah knows best. That they understand my speech and appoint for me a helper from my family, Aaron, Harun, my brother. Increase my strength in him or with him, and let him share my task of conveying Allah's message and prophethood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded by saying, قَالَ قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. Allah responded, you are granted your request, O Musa. And thus both Musa and his brother Harun, Aaron, were ordered to go to call the Fir'aun to Allah. اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري. Go you and your brother with my ayat, with my proofs, evidences, verses, revelations, and do not either of you slacken and become weak in my remembrance. اذهبا إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Go both of you to Fir'aun. Verily he has transgressed all bounds in disbelief and disobedience and behaved as arrogantly as a tyrant. Musa is keeping the good company of his brother. Believers are protectors and helpers of each other. They remind each other about being dutiful to Allah and enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. Believers advise each other and do not cover up the wrong done by anyone amongst them just because he belongs to my view, my party, my group. They admonish each other for the sake of Allah and give full pledge to Allah and to His deen. They penetrate the psychological barriers set by the groups and parties and unite with their brothers on what is right. They invite their brothers and sisters to adopt the correct beliefs and practices of the righteous predecessors. This constitutes the path of understanding and the application of deen as taught by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and adopted by the Sahaba and their followers from the righteous predecessors. This path, this manhaj, methodology is distinct from the ways of scholastic theology and mysticism which introduce innovations in the concepts as well as ways of worship. They advise themselves as well as the ummah at large to stay away from bid'ah, from innovations, and to cooperate on what is right. When they do so, they are the ummah and they are the jama'ah. The conveyance of Allah's message, even to a tyrant like Fir'aun, came in a good way. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. He said, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. And speak to him mildly. Perhaps he may accept admonition or fear Allah. Prophet Musa alayhi salam did not start ordering Fir'aun to submit. The speech came in the form of a request like this. In verse 18 of this surah, فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. And say to him, would you purify yourself from the sin of disbelief by becoming a believer? A similar way of speech was said by the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam when he addressed his honored guests from the angels, asking them to eat from the meal that he prepared for them. فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. And he placed it, the roasted calf, before them, saying, will you not eat? Will you not eat? He didn't command them by saying, eat. Instead, he said, will you not eat? Musa told Fir'aun that he was a guide offering to show him the path that leads to Allah, the creator of Fir'aun, and all that exists. وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ, and that I guide you to your Rabb Allah, so you should fear him. So if you come to know Allah, you will fear him. These two matters are related. The more you know of Allah and his names and attributes, the more you will fear him. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, it is only those who have knowledge among his slaves that fear Allah, as in Surah Fatir, chapter 35, verse 28. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, quote, basically the knowledge of Allah is of two kinds. First, knowledge with regard to himself, his noble and majestic qualities, and what is denoted by his best names. It is certain that if this kind of knowledge settles in the heart, then it necessitates the fearing of Allah. Inevitably, such knowledge makes clear that Allah rewards on his obedience and punishes on his disobedience, as it is attested in the Quran and by observation. This is what is meant by the saying of Ibn Hayyan al-Taymi, one of the pious predecessors. He said, scholars are of three kinds. This Ibn Hayyan died in the year 145 of Hijrah. Those who have knowledge of Allah but don't know about his commandments. Those who know about Allah's commandments but don't have knowledge of Allah. Second, the third, those who have knowledge of Allah and of his commandments. The scholar who has knowledge of Allah fears him, and the one who knows about Allah's commandment is the one who knows the lawful and unlawful. The one who is knowledgeable of Allah and his commandments is the one who fears Allah and knows his sunnahs, his sunan, his ways, limits and statutes. A man said to Ash-Sha'bi, and Ash-Sha'bi is Amir bin Sharhabil, the Imam of his times, a great scholar of Islam, who was born during the Khilafah of Umar bin Khattab. He saw Ali bin Abi Talib and prayed behind him. He heard the hadith from the foremost of the Sahaba generation, like Abu Huraira, Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, Aisha ibn Umar, and others. May Allah be pleased with all of them. And he died in the year 105 of Hijrah. He said, a man said to him, O learned man, addressing Ash-Sha'bi by saying, O learned man. He, Ash-Sha'bi, said, the learned man is the one who fears Allah. Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, quote, sufficient of knowledge is to have fear of Allah, and sufficient of ignorance is to be in delusion about Allah. Then Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, the second kind of knowledge pertaining to Allah is the knowledge about his sharia, his judicial legislation. This is evident in the comments which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made when some people wanted to avoid certain things that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared permissible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what has happened to the people that they avoid that for which permission has been granted to me? By Allah, I have the best knowledge of Allah amongst you and fear him most amongst you. And in another narration he said, by Allah, I fear Allah most amongst you, and I have the best knowledge of his statutes. Musa wants to make Fir'aun aware of what is good for him. So he used the words hal laka, which means would you, as if telling him, it is you who needs the purification. I am only your guide. People don't accept the claim made by someone that he is a messenger from Allah without clear proofs and evidences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported his messengers with signs, with proofs, with evidences, with lessons, with revelations, with miracles. So Musa alayhi salam was supported by one of Allah's signs, فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. Then Musa showed him the great sign, This came after Prophet Musa invited him to submit to Allah and answered his questions, which are detailed in other parts of the Quran. The Pharaoh demanded that إِن كُنْتَ جِئْتَ بِآيَةٍ فَأْتِ بِهَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. If you have come, O Musa, with a sign, show it forth if you are one of those who tell the truth. So Musa showed him the great sign. And the people of tafsir, of explanation of the Quran, said it is the sign of the stick or that of Musa's hand or both. As they said that it may also be the nine signs mentioned in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 101, when Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى تِسْعَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ فَاسْأَلْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ فَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ إِنِّي لَأَظُنُّكَ يَا مُوسَى مَسْحُورًا. And indeed we gave to Musa nine clear signs. What is it about Musa alayhi salam hand as a sign? نعم طيب. And indeed we gave to Musa nine clear signs. Ask then the children of Israel when he came to them. Then Pharaoh said to him, O Musa, I think you are indeed bewitched. Did Pharaoh benefit from the signs? No, he did not have any tendency to acknowledge the signs. And here it is worth remembering that at the time of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Isa now, Jesus, people were good in medicine. Allah the Almighty gave Isa the ability to cure people by wiping his hand on them. Not only that, but he was able by Allah's leave to bring life to the dead by speaking to them. He used to stand by the grave and call upon the buried person in it, and behold, the person rose up alive, and by Allah's permission and will. There is no medicine that can stand to face such miracles. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's why the miracles given to Isa, to Jesus, were suitable to the attitude of people at his time. In the time of Prophet Musa, however, magic was widespread. That is one reason why Allah Azza wa Jal gave Musa some miracles, the effects of which looked like magic, in order to defeat the magician and hence the arguments of those who supported them. The pagan Arabs, on the other hand, were proud of their eloquence and fluency in the Arabic language. They considered eloquent speech to be the greatest quality of a person. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with Allah's revelation, the Quran, as a challenge to the masters of the Arabic language and speech. All praise is due to Allah. These comments were from our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, held in discussions at his house in a very beneficial meeting that used to be held every Thursday at his own home. It's called Al-Bab Al-Maftuh, the open door. And now, alhamdulillah, all of these discussions are published and printed. Rahimahullah. Tayyib, inshallah now we can stop here at this point and we can continue inshallah as then from the moment that Fir'aun, did he benefit from the signs? He didn't, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him, فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى, he denied them and disobeyed. We continue inshallah the discussion regarding this inshallah tomorrow. So we stop here now. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all that has been said acceptable to him and to forgive me for any mistake that I may have committed. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.